Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and I am joined today by Chris Miller and Morgan Nowak. We are here to do our best to potentially help everybody prepare for the holidays. What is it like to be around family? How can we be salt and light in the midst of sometimes tense and difficult family situations? Let's get equipped. So Quentin threw us a fun one for today. We'll probably keep this one kind of short and kind of light, but I think it's also pretty personal for a lot of us of maybe having sometimes difficult home situations, or I know for, I hear this a lot with college students and just people. It doesn't have to just be college students, but like, how do I like take my faith with me? You know, when I go home for the holidays, when I'm going to see family, or sometimes it's maybe expressed in a negative fashion of like, man, I just have a hard time continuing to be the person that I want to be when I'm around family. You know, and I think anybody can certainly understand that. But going into this Christmas season here in the next couple of weeks, going to New Year's and what have you, even as we start kind of planning for the new year and any goals or setting goals regarding our faith that we might have, like how do we live this out in the midst of sometimes complicated relationships, whether it's family, coworkers, friends, whatever it might be. So I'd love to hear from you guys. What do you guys initially think about that? Is living your faith out in front of family members, is that sometimes tricky for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I am definitely one of those with a little bit of a tricky, messy family situation that it feels like as the years go by, it just gets messier instead of like getting more resolved, which is an interesting situation. But I think that the holidays for anyone that's in a similar situation to me can just kind of come with like a little bit of like almost like your whole body tenses up a little bit and you're like, oh, what's going to happen now? You know? And I hope maybe we don't have very many listeners that can relate to that. But, if there are listeners that can relate to that, I'm in that same boat. So the holidays kind of just feel sometimes, they feel like they have opportunity for the Lord to work, but they feel like they have opportunity for the enemy to work as well.
Yeah. What about for you, Chris?
I totally agree with Morgan. I think that we all have family dynamics that come into play around Christmas time and New Year's when we're getting together, you know, family tension, you know, or some activities that some parts of the family want to indulge in that we try not to now that we are on the other side of salvation.
Right.
And so sometimes that puts it just puts tension in the air.
Like horseshoes or
like horseshoes or drinking or some other things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Some people like eggnog. Some people like eggnog and then some. So I think for me, like some of the complication with the holidays is just me. Like I'm the complication in the holiday in that like I'm not disciplined in the same ways that I usually am. Like my time in the Word is less consistent in time of prayer. And, you know, I'm kind of bad about if I've got time off, then I'm like off, you know, and versus that's something I've had to work on now for the last 2 years is trying to like, how do you have like a redemptive view of rest and a redemptive view of vacation to where you're still, because obviously like we don't discipline ourselves to pray and read the Word as a part of work. That's life. We're being connected to life, but I find like when we're traveling, that's one of the first things to go, as far as my disciplines and rhythms, as they go, that's one of the first things I stop being who I want to be sometimes when I'm on vacation. So sometimes that's the complication. So, Q listed out a few questions for us that I thought were helpful just as we think about, you know, as we're around friends and family for Christmas. How do I share my faith with family members that I'm not sure are Christians? Y'all want to rock, paper, scissors for?
I mean, I can go. It doesn't matter. I wrote down some Bible verses I think that'll help us.
What's up, Pastor Brandon?
On the podcast with us?
We're lost on thought. Could you get your dogs to track down this thought for us? We've wounded it, but we can't quite find it.
You'll have to bleed a little bit.
Okay. I love messing with him. How do I share my faith with family members that I'm not sure are Christians?
James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the reason is that because the verse goes on to tell us that if you hear the word and you don't put it into practice, you're deceiving yourself. And so it's not about beating your family over the head with I do this or I do that or you need to do this or you need to do that. What it's about is living your life in such a way that they do see that light in you.
Hmm. Yeah.
And just walking it out in front of them.
Yeah. So whether you're like verbally sharing, like, you know, God's plan of reconciliation is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, like whether you're putting into words like that or whether you're just living out your faith in a sacrificial, servant-hearted kind of way, that's one way. How can I share my faith with family members? Well, how do you treat them?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Would be one big one. Morgan, what were you going to say?
I think too, similar to what Chris is talking about, like it's a lot of it is based in relationship, and you can't get caught up in like maybe the relationship that you did have before you were saved, or the relationship that maybe you did have before life changed for you or someone in your family. Like that can weigh heavily on you, but just accepting and understanding like where you're at right now, where the Lord has you in maturity, where the Lord has you geographically, like where the Lord has you in your faith, all of those things is put that way for a specific reason, to be around your family this season, potentially your friends or whoever else, for a specific reason. Like it's not on accident, you know. It's not like you go to the Lord saying, dang Lord, like if only Christmas would have happened last week, I was spiritually on fire then and this would have been such a better situation.
Yeah.
Like the Lord knows those things and he did it on purpose. And so just to like have a soft heart to like, where am I at? And prayerfully be authentic about that around your family so that you can engage with them on like a more real level. You don't have to pretend to be some sort of spiritual guru, because I don't think that's going to go quite as far with people that don't have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. So like sometimes this can be a really, really difficult conversation for me, because everybody's family dynamic is so different. Some people, even if they are like dysfunctional or live in open sin, they're still easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just friendly, fun. You know, you go home for holidays and like, you know, Uncle Bill's going to say something crazy, but we're still going to play cards and play Uno and whatever. Everybody's going to have at least fun. And maybe, just some families are more conversational than others, where for you know, my family, our extended family, there's not a lot of like, I guess like really, there's just not, we're not a very conversational family. Like we do stuff together. They come and see the kids, open presents. But like, it's just not like I don't know. It's not like we don't engage at the thought level. Like it's not a shared thought family.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know for different portions, and speaking from Macy's side and from my side of the family, like we don't engage regarding ideas. And if y'all know me at any level, like that's who I am, is
right.
Like I want to think about stuff. I want to talk about challenging ideas and like, let's go back and forth about it. But something about that dynamic is like, if you begin to engage at that level, it begins to sound like conflict, and nobody wants that for the holidays. You know, what present did you get for Christmas? Conflict. So, that's where sometimes I get kind of, I dread the holidays a little bit, because it's such a mindless, robotic, obedience driven thing of like, you know, but there is something to what Chris is saying of like just a ministry of presence that I really struggle with. I'm not very good at just a ministry of presence. Like, you know, I feel much more comfortable in environments that I have a lot of say-so over.
Control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I mean, I think we all fall into that a bit.
Yeah.
And I think the key to it is to just remember that even when we're in those situations we can't control, that it's our actions that's going to speak louder than our words.
Yeah. And that's where I'm like more so confessing for our audience of like, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at the like, you know, instead of taking the posture of like, how can I show up and serve with my actions, serve with my, even my attitude. I think that's like a level of sanctification that I don't hear people talk about a lot, but like showing up with a sanctified, healthy emotional presence. I'm not there, you know, certain places I am. A lot of times it's here because I feel very comfortable and I feel accepted here, but there's a little bit of like, because in light of my faith, I don't feel fully accepted a lot of times in extended family environments, you know?
I feel the same way. Right. I know exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what makes it hard for me of like, how do I share my faith with family members that I'm not sure are Christians? And some of this, you know, not to go overly into a leadership vein, but like, who is the culture setter of the family dynamic? Who has the longstanding family tradition? Like, why do you play, you know, solitaire, or why do you like whatever anybody does at Christmas or like the holidays or family get-togethers? Like, who has set the culture for those things? Our family right now is just kind of void of that. It's really up to whatever me and Macy do, and then whoever chooses to come and participate in that. But
I think too, you can share your faith in like kind of small ways that it is actions, but they still speak for themselves, not just in a servanthood way, absolutely in a servanthood way, but like something that Seth and I try to do around our unsaved family is we try to openly, not like in a closed door, which I mean, you know, there's merit to that as well, but openly read our Bibles in the mornings or like around people, pray before we eat or things like that. And we sometimes will invite them to pray with us. Sometimes we don't, but we don't hide like, oh, let's go shh, really quiet. Let's pray when no one's looking, you know, but like, okay, now we're going to pray before we eat. And our family will notice those things. And even if they think like, oh my goodness, roll my eyes, they've gotten so religious. Like it's worth it that we do that on purpose to show them that these are things that matter to us.
Totally agree.
Yeah. I think there's another piece in the direction that you're going, Morgan, which is sort of the boundaries you set. Like mm-hmm. if we're going to be on an extended trip from like Wednesday to Wednesday for Christmas, guess what we're doing Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to church somewhere.
Right. Like, and some people take, and that's usually our direction, but that's not hard because I'm here. So, right. It's not like we're traveling to and having to find a church in like Charleston or whatever. But that's for our listener. Like, what boundaries do you set as far as like what you will and will not be a part of? It can be one way, and then you might be surprised who wants to join you mm-hmm. for something like that. I love what you said though of like that, and that might be my application from this is like, I'm gonna evangelistically on purpose sit down, open my Bible where other people could see, and just embrace the fact that I'm gonna be interrupted. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. What were you gonna say, Chris? Anything?
Nope.
No. That's something for me. Like, you know, a lot of times I think I think of these moments as like the big, everybody's at the table and you pray and like four of your aunts and uncles get saved, but that's not, you know, and so that's just a different dynamic, I guess, of that's what I'm challenged with in this is like, how do I serve my family, my extended family? Cause you know, when it's like me and my wife and my kids, that's one thing. But like when it's, you know, extended family and other onlookers and opinions and voices, like how do I serve them with sort of emotional presence?
I think too, like accepting where the rest of your family's at, whether they're saved, unsaved, or somewhere in between, or just unknown, like acknowledging how they're made and how they are, and not in a pessimistic way, but just going to the Lord with your expectations and things like that. And I wish that every family gathering was the aunts and uncles get saved, but like, and maybe instead of having that as an expectation, having the expectation that I'm going to give my family, I'm going to be open so that my family members have the opportunity to ask me about my job because I work at a church, you know, or just something like that. And then if that's your goal, like the way you'll pursue your family is so different than if the goal is I'm going to preach at them and they're going to accept Jesus. Like the way you pursue relationships with those two goals in mind are totally different. And so maybe the expectation, maybe knowing where your family members are at, knowing that this is the person I disagree with the very most, that's very argumentative about it. And the way for me to have a win in this situation is to have the opportunity to serve her selflessly in a way that might get her to ask questions. If that's my goal that day, I'm going to pursue that relationship so different. And I think that's better than this person I argue with. I'm going to start an argument because I know I can win. Like that would just be so different in like your expectations of how that you pursue that. You know what I mean? And so that's been something that's big for me is just, and again, not being pessimistic about it, but like knowing, walking into this, what does a realistic win look like for us? A realistic win for us might look like choosing joy every single time, you know, which will be a, that will be a challenge, you know, or choosing patience every single time. That'll be a challenge. But like knowing what you're walking into and what, if when you were walking out, what feels like success, I think is going to make a big difference.
So add on question to that first one. So the context of it is of family members that I'm not sure are Christians. How do you go about discerning which one of your family members are and are not Christians?
That's a tough question.
It is a tough one.
What does Paul tell us?
Well, I think I asked that because I think that's, I feel like I hear that question a lot of like, you know, my dad has always done this and he's always said that. And that's just always made me wonder, you know, like I have people ask me that type of a question. So is there any type of home for the holiday advice of like, how do we go about discerning who in our family is a follower of Jesus or maybe is not? And how do we, because that's going to color how we interact with them. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
Should it
have shaped how we interact with them? Well, for me it does for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it does for me. Like, because while for people that are far from the Lord or people that, If I'm interacting with somebody that's not a believer, I want to try to build a relationship with them to try to gain influence to be able to share the gospel with them.
That makes sense.
I don't want to just the goal of the relationship is kind of singular. Like I want their general well-being and I'm going to serve them as just as I would anyone to try to, just because I want them to be okay, period. But like, if what they say offends me, I categorize it differently than if it's somebody who's on my team. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, like if it's a, because I, truth part and part of this is where I would, I'm not pushing back on what you're saying, Morgan, but I think for our listener, we've kind of painted the category of if, you know, when you're home for the holidays, it's all the non-Christians that are going to hurt your feelings the worst. Hmm. It's not the case for me.
No, I wouldn't say it. So.
It's the Christians that hurt my feelings the most. Mm-hmm. It's the disappointment, right? It's the disappointment of like, wow, I really thought we were on the same team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the person who's like openly like, I'm not sure about this whole Jesus thing, sometimes can be, feel like your closer ally, which is really, I'm pressing into this because I think it's going to be relevant for a lot of people that are listening, not because it's really fun to talk about, but like mm-hmm. Christians can be super disappointing in how they hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think I would challenge myself and listeners to, instead of being any kind, and I'm not saying anyone is, but instead of being any kind of judgmental or just decisive or even assuming where people are at in their faith, be very observant. Like, there's so many opportunities for relationship building and questions. If you're just observant, you know, if someone walks in wearing a cross necklace, like, hey, I love your necklace. Where'd you get that? Why are you wearing it? You know, like just asking questions or talking about, you know, at church on Sunday, this and that. Do you go to church? You know, you don't have to be weird about it, but like, or do you even asking people just with the kind of quote unquote small talk questions, what's your job like? What's your family like? How are the kids? You know, how was your Thanksgiving? Like, you can learn a lot just by asking questions to people about their lives and their everyday goings ons. That, like, what does it sound like they're giving joy to in their life? What does it sound like they're giving time to in your life? And you, most of the time, I wouldn't say, you know, overall, but a lot of the times, if it is a true believer, you're going to find out pretty quick. You know, someone that is living in obedience to Christ, that's going to come through pretty quick. And if it's not, I think that might come through pretty quick as well. That just gives you kind of an idea of, okay, this is how I'm going to steward this conversation.
Yeah. Well, and so there's, on the one hand, the like that, I mean, that would be one piece of advice that I give is, if you are thinking about your non-Christian family, like if you're the only believer in your family, then think about the way that you get to serve those unreached people with the gospel. If you have, let's call them half saved, the just family members that you've always understood to be Christians, but you look at their life and you're like, I just don't see any fruit, probably just need to default, which I think is what you're getting at, Chris, yeah. Is like, let's just default in the direction of evangelism here.
Yeah.
Because going back to what did Paul say? I think about Ephesians 2, you were dead.
Yep.
You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. It's past tense, right? That's previously. We used to live under that sort of domain. But it's marked by, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. So is their lives marked by the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind? Like, does a person seem overly controlled by the things that their body wants? Too much drink, wrong, you know, sex that's completely outside of God's design. Even just like their impulse is controlled by their stomach, their just desires, whether it's just too much holiday food or, I don't know, just like it, all of that affects your mood and disposition and therefore the way you treat people. Like, are they governed by the desires of the body and the mind? And it says they were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. So that's the hope.
That's right.
If you have the family members that are controlled by the domain of death, there is hope that God can intervene. So there, that's why we should move in the direction of them evangelistically. So
I think it's also important to remember that we're all in different levels of our sanctification, where we're at in our walk, and I believe that God grows some people at a faster rate than he does others. And so there's people in our families that claim to be Christians, but they don't show a lot of fruit. But I think we should be careful about being too judgmental in that. If there's no fruit, I think you can make an honest decision. But if there's a little bit of fruit, they may just be slower in their growth or slower in their walk. And right. I think that gives us an opportunity to come along beside them at that time, you know, to... like Morgan said, you know, intentionally break our Bibles out, you know, ask if they're interested in reading with us, or, you know, being intentional about praying, being intentional about walking our faith out the best we can in front of them.
Yeah. That's where my mind went to, of like, maybe the believers in your family don't know you're an ally.
Right. I mean, yeah. Maybe I wasn't for a long time.
Yeah. Maybe they are like eager for somebody to take that first step and like open their Bible or be willing to like do something different, you know, and maybe they'd be happy to jump in. So maybe there's an open door, sort of there. I had something I was going to say about like for the person that is a believer, how we would kind of relate to them, but
I think it's interesting, the person that is a believer, like how quick it does happen, even if you're not close to that person. Like we had a family situation and during Thanksgiving where I met for the first time a lot of my husband's family, and there were so many of them. I mean, not that, I mean, there were like 20 of them, and there's just one of me and a bunch of new people I never met. And so I defaulted to like this kind of quiet, sitting back, character, you know, because so much was happening and they all know each other, obviously their family and all these sorts of things. We're together like 4 days. It wasn't until the last day I finally speak to this guy that had taken a similar position to me, kind of quiet, kind of sat back. I talked to him for the first time. He works at a church. He went to seminary. He's like a wonderful guy. He's worked as a volunteer at a church almost full time for like 10 years, finally got hired on. He's so happy about it. And as soon as we find this out, we're like instant friends, instant connection. You know, we don't have to explain anything more. It's like we almost like have a shared language of like, hey, you are fighting the same fight that I'm fighting. You know, we're on the same road. Like, this is awesome. Why aren't we talking to each other for the last four days? You know, but
we had the same thing happen on the cruise. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So you put it into words exactly of like, there is just a different when, and I just would encourage the believer in that, that like, yeah, of course, like there is a difference. There's a major difference. And it has to do, like, on the one hand, move in the direction of your family evangelistically. Like, yes, there are going to be Christians that hurt you, that disappoint you. But on the other hand, there's also, like, there are believers that you'll be surprised how much you have in common, and it has nothing to do with the fact that they're related to you.
Mm-hmm.
And is that dynamic that you just described. Mm-hmm. So we were on the cruise, and I wound up in line, and it could have been anybody. And we were just all so relationally sick of one another from being on the boat and on vacation and everything. But like, I'm holding our place in line for this show that we didn't have tickets to. And this guy's in front of me, and I'm like, hey, am I in the right place? And he said, yeah, for sure. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was thinking, this is going to be it. But then he turns around and starts making small talk. And then he starts asking like, so what do you do for a living? And like, oh boy, here we go. And I said, I'm a pastor at a church in Statesboro, Georgia. And he's like, dude, no way. So am I. Mm-hmm. And he was a pastor in Florida, and Yulee, Florida. Shout out to Nick. And I have a whole point behind the story. Like, so we're asking the question of like, how do I share my faith with family members that I'm not sure are Christians? And I'm asking the question, well, how do you know? I immediately had an ally that understood the importance of the muscles of confession of sin and repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And for the believers that I do believe are in my family, the muscle of confession of sin and repentance is so atrophied that it's almost like talking to a dead person.
Mm.
And that can, especially being in the Bible Belt around nominal Christianity or cultural Christianity, that's what's, to me, that's becoming clearer to me of like, I have chosen to live my life confessing sin and repenting of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm around people that don't understand the value in that, I have a hard time engaging. Like, I just don't understand that life. Well, now that I've seen and felt what it feels like to confess sin, to repent, and then to receive forgiveness for sin, why would I want to live any other way?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but like the nominal Christian has accepted that Jesus is the only atonement for sin, but it's such a difficult thing. Why would I ever want to bring it up again? And I couldn't disagree with that line of thinking more.
I agree with you on that 100%.
And so that's what makes going home for the holidays sometimes difficult, is the highest currency, higher than the American dollar, is the coin of confession and repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to buy as much of that as I can. And I think sometimes for people that are going to be going home to Augusta and Atlanta and Macon or all over the South, that it not all Christians value that, and that's what makes it hard. How do we have a relationship with somebody who says that they follow Jesus but don't value confession and repentance? Mm-hmm. But that guy on the boat, it just was like an immediate weight off my shoulders, where I could talk about even the sin that I'd been struggling with that week of anger and bitterness. If you're parenting three kids on a boat, you're going to have anger and bitterness.
I guarantee.
And so. But just having somebody to talk about at an idea level with that was so relieving.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to.
God has his people everywhere.
Mm. Yeah.
We have to be bold in our faith to be able to find them.
Yeah.
Because if we're not bold in our faith, and they're not building their faith, we can walk right by each other for a whole week and not know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we saw them everywhere. We saw them at the beach. We saw them at the water park. We saw them, like, it was just really cool. It just was a constant. God's people are a constant reminder of God's grace. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, just even on vacation, that was just so redemptive for me. But sorry, I didn't mean to Tommy top your story of.
No. You're saying exactly what I'm saying. I think you really want to rock someone's world that doesn't embrace confession and repentance. Go apologize for something that you did. Mm. You know, like, if you do give in to anger, you do give in to whatever, it might be like a kind of concealed closeted version, but like some version of like snippiness or bitterness, you know, or you do something selfish on purpose, like
Christian condescension.
Yeah, exactly. Or you, I don't even know, you know, you know, someone likes the brownies a little underbaked, so you overbake them just to be bitter. You know, I don't know, something like that.
It's a lot of times it's like sarcastic comments too.
Right.
Like using sarcasm and cutting people down.
And own, like, if you do it, own your part in it, you know, and then go up to that person, even if it's uncomfortable. Man, it's so hard to do it with parents specifically because they're the parent. But you go up to them and you say, hey, I shouldn't have said that that way. I'm worried I hurt your feelings. Could you forgive me? Like, and then watch their face. Mm. But do it from a, please do it from a place where your heart is genuinely wanting to repent to them and wanting to be kind. Don't do it because you want to see their face. But I think that could show them, like, hold on. There's something different about this, and there's something, and then usually you'll feel better too. And it might cause them to ask questions, and it'll probably stick with them because they may have never seen you do it and they may have never done it themselves. And wow. That's something that's not gonna just, you know, they're gonna forget about and go on with their day.
Man, I feel like you just mothered me. I feel mothered. I love that. I mean, that's worth the whole weight of the podcast of like, what, I mean, one basic human skill downstream from confession and repentance is apologizing, mm-hmm. taking ownership and apologizing for stuff. Like, that's not, in our family, that's not normal. Mm-hmm. And so when you do something wrong, you just do your best to hide it mm-hmm. and move on from it. And just
act like it never happened.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let it fester for 20 years.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Why talk about it when we could use this as fuel for bitterness
something
for the
later,
rest of our lives?
Right.
Yeah. So how do I share my faith with family members that I'm not sure are Christians? Maybe just kind of putting a cap on that of one, just be really clear about what the gospel is. Like, the gospel is that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with him, even when we were enemies. Mm-hmm. And so when we understand how great of a salvation that we've received, it changes our attitude about offering it so freely, even to our family members. So they're either, you know, they're either an ally, or they are a mission field. Yeah. So,
mm-hmm. And I think we can also put Matthew 5:16 into play here. Mm. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Yeah,
just continue to walk it out every chance you get. Walk your faith out and live according to what the word says. People will notice that. It will get you alienated sometimes from family. But what it will do is you walk that out. They're going to continually see that because people are watching.
Yeah.
They're watching you.
You brought up Matthew 5:16 there. So next question, how can we be salt and light? How can we be the salt and light of the world to family that we've known our whole lives? Like, how can we do that? Very practically, what are ways that we can be? So it's one thing to say walk it out, but like how? Like, what are any practical hows of, like Morgan said, of opening your Bible first thing in the morning, praying, even just with your spouse quietly to yourself before a meal. What are some other ways that we can be salt and light?
I think be quick to jump in and do that job that nobody else wants to do. Like, that's just a way to serve. Sometimes you probably aren't going to want to do it either because no one wants to do that. It might be the washing the dishes. It might be the taking the trash out. It might be offering to take the dogs on a walk at the end of the night. But continue to put others before yourself and just see what the Lord might do with that.
Macy does such a good job with that. It feels like every family event we have, she does all the cooking. She does all the cleaning. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, she gives a lot of herself in that regard. My mother-in-law does such a great job of, like, she'll jump in and do the dishes, or she'll wash a load of clothes, or like, you know, or just like, she does things like just loads the kids up and let's just go get ice cream at Dairy Queen. Like, she does stuff like that. That's always very sacrificial But it like really hits home. Mm-hmm. Like she does a great job of creating a culture of fun for the kids. So what else? What are some other ways that we can be salt and light to our family?
Maybe not doing some of the things that you used to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, this, you know, without getting too personal here, you know, maybe not enjoying that cup of eggnog, even though the rest of the family is.
Yeah.
And even when that flesh really wants a cup of that eggnog, you know,
yeah.
Knowing that you are called to be set apart.
Yeah. Well, and two, like, so this is the Equipped podcast. Our aim is to like help people who are multipliers, right? So sometimes it might be enjoying that cup of eggnog. Like if it gives you a chance to, and there it's not about the eggnog. It's more about like, do you have an opportunity with a person that you wouldn't normally have a chance to? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can remember a family member that like they were going through something, again, extended family, like that they had their parents had just gone through a divorce, and and we went to a sporting event and we were tailgating and just being a part of the tailgate and blending in allowed me a chance to like really try to be a support. And so that's not that's about as vague as I guess you could possibly be, but I mean, still with all control on godliness, completely being guided by the Spirit, like it's a matter of wisdom, I guess, is all to in partnership with Chris's point. Sometimes it is to refrain, and sometimes it's to participate with an eye towards sharing the gospel. But like everybody has to be in a different place. That is something that Morgan would never be allowed to do, as far as from her past and her experiences in addiction. But like, and probably, you know, with your past, even Chris, of like having to be wise about like being clear, I am different, yeah. You know, because there are people in your family that also struggle with addiction.
Yeah.
So
I think similarly to what you're saying, like just prayerfully do take the opportunities when they arise, even though, you know, maybe you won't have the opportunity to share the gospel with every single family member, but you might have the opportunity to share the gospel with one.
With a family member.
And so like if that opportunity does come up, don't slink back, you know, be ready to give an account for the things that you believe, because the Lord might be answering a years long prayer. And so like, be ready.
I think that's exactly what I'm trying to communicate. It's not about like, do you or don't you participate in whatever's being passed around as far as drink. Certainly no drugs, please. But as far as drink, like it's like, here, let me missionally take a hit of meth. I'm saying like if you have an opportunity to have a glass of wine with a family member that you would not ever have an opportunity. I'm saying like for myself, I would just go be a hermit, and I'm like, get out of bed as late as possible, go to bed as early as possible, be in my corner reading a book, watching football. Like that would be, you know, that I could tend in the direction of my highest inclination, which is to be an introvert and to go hide away. But there is a time where I need to get out and see the value in who's the one person that maybe I could have that conversation with that could be a blessing to them. So it's not a one size fits all thing with how do you be salt and light, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's so custom to every relationship that you really do have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And that kind of comes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of like, you can't like vacation is not a vacation from the Holy Spirit. It's a vacation or a time away. It's the holiday season from your job or from your normal rhythms, but like we always need the Holy Spirit. It's never a vacation from the Holy Spirit. So anything else on that?
I can't think of anything. It's gonna be a great Christmas.
You're gonna do great.
We're all excited.
What about for like, so I want to lastly, I just want to address like extraordinary, like the completely difficult family situation, like what we've described as just like personality differences, but I'm talking about like, I'm thinking of like college students maybe that are going to home to abuse, or it's not just crazy Uncle Ned that has one too many eggnogs, but like it's you know, it's that aunt or uncle or grandparent or or parent or sibling even, that they know some type of abuse is waiting, mm-hmm. whether it's verbal, physical, sexual, mental, emotional. Like, how could we end on such a cheery note of like, how could we maybe speak into that for them?
That's tough.
I would give maybe some missional categories from Paul, that Paul took enough beatings that he would get up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if they left him outside of town for dead, he was moving on pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, that there is a place for shaking the dust off of your feet. You know, that there is a place, like, you know, the mission of God does not require you to go and put yourself in a place to be consistently abused.
Mm-hmm.
Would be, and there's probably a pastor out there that disagrees, but I don't really care.
I mean, totally agree with that. God doesn't call us to stay in an abusive situation just because they're family.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of a fairly close family situation where a couple of the family members don't get along very well. And the only way to really handle that situation is one of them keeps the other one at an arm's distance. They yeah. still love them, still pray for them. But as far as letting them get too close personally, they keep them outside of that circle. And, you know, sometimes we have to do that in order to maintain our sanity, maintain yeah. a healthy relationship. You know, you can't always let everybody get into the inner circle. You've got to keep some people on the outside, just like what you said, of shaking the dust off your feet. You know, if you try to reconcile with somebody, you try to reconcile with somebody, you try to reconcile with somebody, and every time you do, it's just abuse on top of abuse on top of abuse, then keeping them at arm's length may be the best way to handle that relationship.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would go even further. Part of what I'm pushing back against in sort of the American South, not the global South, we're not in South America, the American South, is, well, you have to go. It's family. It's tradition. Mm-hmm. I would say the believer has a new sensibility to that is unwise.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to keep going to that environment. In fact, I'm not going to bring my family into that environment, mm-hmm. because it's going to create more dysfunction and problems than around things that I'm not willing to let my children be shaped into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that has cost us in our family, to speak very plainly and personally, of family relationships that have chosen to distance themselves from us because there were emotional and mental boundaries that I was not willing to let my children be shaped into.
Yeah.
Even things of being beat down and made to be felt like they're not good enough, to make them feel like they're always a disappointment. I wasn't playing that game.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. I mean, part of your role as a dad is to protect your kids from that very thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we tried to approach that with a gracious conversation, but like, the boundary is going to be kept. And the tone for keeping that boundary and then the consequences for keeping that boundary had to continue to escalate and escalate to where, like, I'm not willing to let tradition shape my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to let some longstanding family tradition shape my marriage. Like, if it ain't healthy and it's not going to cause us to love the Lord more and to create lasting, meaningful memories, we ain't going.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, and so what we believe is that the Lord is bigger than family traditions. Mm-hmm. And if we need to start a new family legacy, that's what we've chosen to do and chosen to be willing to do. Now, we love being around our in-laws. I love being around our family. And so, but that's more of the redemptive approach that we take of, like, I don't think you have to keep going home to an aunt that always makes a comment about your weight. I don't think you have to keep going. Now, if you can withstand it and you can, like, and it doesn't, like, misshape your walk with the Lord or something like that. It doesn't warp your worldview, or like it doesn't make you go cry in a corner every 15, 20 minutes, then like, cool. I mean, I don't care about my aunt that comments on my weight. They're huge. So, but I could see for like other people that, you know, have difficult family situations that it's like, you don't have to go just because everybody else is going. There is a place for boundaries, especially if it's sexual abuse, if it's mental abuse, if it's physical abuse, like you can come have Christmas with us.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Or us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what's a happy note we can end on? Let's just change gears into something fun. Like anything fun that y'all are looking forward to in the next couple weeks?
My family for Christmas is going to North Georgia, and we love North Georgia. It's beautiful there. And someone said, I don't know how true this is, so please fact check me on this, but someone said there's a potential, I think it's a small percentage, that it could snow in Statesboro on Christmas.
Mm.
Wow.
That'd be awesome.
A white Christmas.
A white Christmas.
In Statesboro. Christmas. So that'd be cool.
That's awesome. I'm excited to see. Have you been to Blue Ridge before?
I've been to the area before. Okay. I went, somewhere in the area, Murphy, North Carolina or something like that. It's a similar-ish area, but we're going to LJ this time. I've never been there.
Oh, you're going to LJ. Cool. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun. I've never been to LJ, but I hear the same thing.
Might find some gold up there.
Ooh. Hey, we'll try.
Morgan and Seth just panhandling in the North Georgia rivers.
Not panhandling, but just panning.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Oh, sorry. I don't know.
I'm at the river, please, sir.
I mean, you might make more panhandling.
Can you spare some gold?
Help me, I'm poor. What about you, Chris?
We're going to see my mom. And it's always a good time to go see my mom.
Jacksonville,
yeah.
Let's go.
And
so, Duval.
Yeah, she can't travel very well, so we're going to travel down there. We're going to leave as soon as Christmas Eve service is over. We're going to have our bags packed, head down there.
Taking the bike down, or you going to take the Mercedes?
No, we're going to take the car.
Let's go.
I would like to take the bike down, but it wouldn't fit the clothes and everything. Aww. My wife would never last 3 hours on the back of a motorcycle. She'd beat me down.
That's awesome.
And then she's got to be back at work on the 26th, so we're just going to go down there and spend the night, enjoy the day with my mom, and then come back evening of the 25th.
That'll be fun. That's awesome. Yeah, we've got the Connection Network retreat coming up, so I'm really excited about that. Whenever this podcast comes out, today's the 16th. My alma mater is playing in the state championship game tomorrow.
Wow.
And I'm going to be going to Atlanta to watch them play. So this is their first, I think this is first ever Toombs County High School state championship game. I think they went in like 75 or something when they were like a Lions high school or whatever. They were something else. But this will be the first time in our school's history. So I'm really excited about that.
That's awesome.
But then it's my favorite, it's usually one of my favorite things every year is the Connection Network retreat, just being around all those church planters and their family. And I'm just pumped. That's always so much fun. And then we got some friends the day when we get back from the retreat that are having like a birthday party that'll be just a couple's thing. So I'm just excited for some couple time with my boo. So I can't wait. Well, thank y'all for listening today. We'll continue with some more episodes in the coming weeks, but we love you guys. Thankful for everybody here at Connection Church that makes multiplying the gospel possible. Keep making disciples even during the holiday season. Peace.
Bye.